I'm excited about all of the home for the holiday places that's going to be going on. I'm excited about that. I was back there trying to sign up for every one I could find. And I'm going to go to every one that I can go to, so there should be plenty of food. Right? Are you doing one, Mackenzie? You doing a home for the holiday? Well, I'm going to go to all of them except for hers. No, I hope everybody will sign up for the home for the holidays. How many of you are glad to be here? Can I say I'm more glad than you are? I promise you that I am. I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord today. And I was back and forth about what to talk about today, but there's been some things that's come up that I wanted to bring to your attention, and we're going to kind of frame it maybe in a unique way. I've got some scriptures up here. We're going to be talking about the conflict in Israel, but what it means concerning the Word of God. And there's a whole lot of misinterpretation going on. There's also, I believe, an enhancement of our urgency going on in our spirit to know what season we're in. Paul the Apostle wrote a verse of scripture in the book of Romans, and he said, "Now it is high time to awake out of your sleep." And there is so many people sleeping and slumbering today in their spirit. They're dead asleep to what's going on around them. And listen, the things that's happening, though they are horrendous in the natural, it should excite us and bring joy in our spirit. And so I wanted to call to attention some things, and I'm not sure exactly, we'll just see how time goes and what we need to do. But let me just frame it this way first. There's been an ongoing battle in Israel for some time now. This is not a new thing. Everything that we're seeing in Israel has actually been going on for thousands of years. Thousands of years. One mistake that's being made in our country is everybody's dating this conflict back to 1948. It actually dates back to Abraham. And the call of God on Abraham's life to come out of the Ur of Chaldees, and God said, "I'm going to make you a great nation." And then after God told Abraham, "I'm going to make you a great nation," well, you know the story. As the story unfolds, Israel goes into bondage in Egypt. And then when they went into bondage in Egypt, God sent a deliverer named Moses to come out and lead them to a land that God had already bordered out and promised to give them. They went in, and there was enemies in the land. As a matter of fact, the enemies looked greater than they did. The report come back and they said, "We've spied out the land, and the witnesses said there's giants over there. We're no match for them." But two of the witnesses, Joshua and Caleb, said, "God promised the land, therefore God will give us the victory. Let's go on." So they were led into God's promised land. Not necessarily their promised land, but God's promised land. That's God's land. Everybody say that with me. That's God's land. Israel gets to live there because God chose them to live there. Everybody say amen to that. Now, that should settle the conflict, but it doesn't. The conflict rages on. Now, I'm going to read to you these passages of Scripture, but we're going to start in reverse form. So find Matthew 24, verse 15 first. It'll kind of set the stage, and then I'm going to tell you what's going on in Israel. After we read this passage, we'll read the passage in full. We'll consider some thoughts, but I want to frame it around something that's just come up back in the spring in Israel. This is not the first time it's come up. It's come up several times. We'll talk about that in a minute. Matthew 24, verse 15. An important verse of Scripture. Now, let's frame this verse just a moment. Matthew 24 is an important passage of Scripture in that Jesus was talking to his disciples, and the disciples had some serious questions. Here was the questions. It should be your question. Okay? Here's what the disciples asked of Jesus. They said, Lord, can you tell us when the end of the age is coming? That's an intriguing question. Should be a question that you have. Here's why we're living at the end of the age. That in agreement with what Jesus taught in Matthew 24. Now, here's the paradigm that you got to keep in your mind, though. Everybody look up here at me. You have a timeline to consider. Don't get confused about this. I don't want nobody to be confused about where I stand about this particularly. The end of the age that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24 is the end that's going to come after the rapture. He's not talking about things leading up to the rapture. He's talking about things leading up to the second coming. Those are two different events. How many of you heard what I just said? The rapture and the second coming are two different events. They occur at two different times. So when somebody's talking about the second coming, you got to distinguish what they're talking about biblically. There are those that put the rapture and the second coming at the same time. That's biblically incorrect. The rapture takes place 7 years or longer before the second coming of Christ. There is a 7-year period that has to take place on earth after the rapture before Jesus returns to the earth. The rapture, Jesus doesn't come to the earth. He comes in the middle of the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is plain about that. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The trump of God's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him in the air. So there's a meeting in the air where He doesn't come to the earth. At that meeting in the air, only those that have been saved will be a part of that. And only those that have been saved will see that. But in the book of Revelation, it talks about the second coming and it says, every eye shall see Him. That takes place at the end of the tribulation period, and Jesus will come all the way from heaven back down to earth, establish Jerusalem as the capital of the world, and we'll rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. How many of you heard what I just said? So get it in your mind that Matthew 24 is about the signs that leads up to the second coming. Now, as you read it, you'll say, but wait a minute, we're seeing that happening now. Yes, you are. And I take you back to an important word that I gave you several weeks ago, and you've got to put it into your spiritual DNA so you'll understand the Scripture. When God speaks a word, it is immediately operational, it's immediately active, and it intensifies over time until that word is completely fulfilled. Say amen to that. Amen. So everything you're seeing happening around you is recorded as an event that will take place after the rapture. But it's not complete yet. It is in the process of being fulfilled. You live in the most exciting times in the history of the universe. Do you understand that? How blessed we are? It is entirely possible that you have been chosen for such a time as this, to live at the end of the age, to be a part of the welcoming committee, to welcome Jesus back in the middle of the air. There's no more exciting time to live than that. Okay, now, some of what we're seeing is tied to Matthew 24:15, which reads this way. I hope you found it. Jesus speaking. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, Stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. It's a powerful verse of Scripture. It's a reference, if you go back to the book of Daniel, and let me give you just a brief summary. If you go back to the book of Daniel and study that book in its entirety, you begin to understand what Jesus is speaking of here. He's talking about the person of the Antichrist going into the temple and declaring himself as God. That's the abomination of desolation. Are y'all hearing me? Everybody hearing me? Okay, now find 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're actually going to read all of the verses there, and it'll also give you further understanding. But before we read it, I want to give you this that's happening in Israel and that's been happening for some time. The governing body in Israel is called the Knesset. In many ways, if we had time, we would draw some parallels between the Knesset and the Pharisees of Jesus' day and the Sanhedrin of Jesus' day. They were the ruling body of Israel and the people of Israel during that time. There was no split between the government and the Judaizers, are the religion of that day. The religion of that day was in authority over the people. Did you hear what I just said? But since 1948, there's been a governing body in Israel. It's called the Knesset. There's been a bill that keeps coming up. It keeps being refused. I'll tell you why. There are political ramifications to it in just a moment. But there's a bill that keeps coming up before the Knesset in Israel. And here's what that it's promoted by two gentlemen in the Knesset. And here's what they want to do. They want to ban and forbid speaking the name of Jesus in public in Israel. They also want to put a prison sentence to anyone who tries to convert a Jew or a Muslim to Christianity. They want to put a prison sentence of up to 2 years in jail for witnessing to a Muslim or to a Jew in Israel. And you would ask, why would Christians stand for that? Prime Minister Netanyahu has said that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And the bill did not pass, thankfully. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
However, the reason that Prime Minister Netanyahu gave for not passing that bill or supporting that bill was because the nations that support Israel are still Christian. Now, here's the important thing that I want you to keep in mind. Get this mindset, if you would. The Bible said Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. The Jewish people did not receive King Jesus. They rejected him. They're still looking for a Messiah. Did y'all hear me? The Jews are still looking for their Messiah. Now that brings us to an important thing that's going on. I'm going to give you the political part before we read this scripture. I'm going to give you the political part and the spiritual part of what the conflict in Israel is all about, and it surrounds this, the temple. That's the conflict in Israel. That's why there is a conflict in Israel. It's all about the temple. Now let's read 2 Thessalonians if we can, chapter 2, and let me get there in my Bible. 2 Thessalonians, turn there if you will. Keep in mind what we read in Matthew. My fingers don't work real well. It takes me just a little time to get there. Keep in mind what we read in Matthew. In the signs of Matthew 24, verse 15, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke of, whosoever readeth, let him understand. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's start reading with verse 4. It is a description, matter of fact, let's just read verse 3. It's a description of the Antichrist. And Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, talking about the coming of Christ, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the abomination of desolation. Remember ye not, Paul goes on to say, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. That is, there's something restraining the Antichrist from being revealed. What is it? Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or alloweth, only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. What is it that is restraining the Antichrist right now from being taken out of the way? It is the person of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is withdrawn from the earth, then the Antichrist will have nothing but darkness and he will prevail over it. The only light there is on the earth right now is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now here's what the scripture says about the Holy Spirit and his residence on planet earth. Listen to this. We are all baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Can I tell you what the rapture is? It is Jesus calling the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. And all of those with whom the Holy Spirit resides will be taken up with him. That's the rapture. It's the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit. How many of you heard what I'm saying? That's why Paul put so much emphasis on walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's growing darker and darker in the world. The only light there is you and me. And it's not about you and me. It's about the Holy Spirit within us. The more filled with His Spirit we are, the more light we shine. Please tell me y'all heard what I just said there. You should be weeping and shouting and crying right now and chasing and pursuing after the Holy Spirit of God. But there's coming a day when the Holy Spirit's going to be called up and you're going with Him. Amen. Now just right there. Ain't that good? So the Holy Spirit is restraining. But when He be taken out of the way, look at verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Giving an allusion to Revelation 19. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, again, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan. Grab this. With all power and signs and lying wonders. So Paul gives us a great description of the Antichrist. The conflict that now resides in Israel is about the temple. I want to give you some things about the temple. The Jews believe the Temple Mount is the most holy place on the earth. They believe the Temple Mount is the site where Solomon built the first temple and later was rebuilt under Nehemiah. Get this statement because it's paramount. They believe this to be the site where the Messiah will come. That's what the Jews believe. Did y'all hear that? So the Temple Mount is sacred. The Temple Mount is the very pinnacle of the Jews' existence. When they go to the Wailing Wall, they are crying for the Messiah to come and establish order in the temple. Here's the problem. The Muslims believe the Temple Mount is the place where Muhammad ascended to heaven. This is the place they believe their Mahdi, or their Messiah, will return. The Mahdi is the Muslim Messiah. This is the entire problem that exists in Israel today. It's a fight over Jerusalem. We have a friend that came to our church many years ago. His name was Bob Kernuk. He's an archaeologist, and he goes around and tries to find artifacts about the Word of God. As a matter of fact, many believe he found Paul's anchor that's talked about in the book of Acts. He was also paramount in going after Noah's Ark until Turkey banned anybody from getting around the site where it's supposedly that Noah's Ark resides. Turkey's protecting that site. They don't want it proven because they're Muslims. Everybody hear me? Bob Kernuk has done many studies on the temple location. There's a lot of people that believe that the temple location is not where the Temple Mount is right now. Some believe it to be in the city of David. Now, when you look at those, how all of that is hooked together, the city of David's not but about 12 acres. And it's right to the south of where the Temple Mount is now. Okay? Now, I just want you to know that the temple is to be rebuilt in order for things in the tribulation to occur. Again, we don't have time to do this, but you've heard me say this before. I have to say it again at this point before we can go on, and then we'll start wrapping this, at least this section up. I'm so glad God let me live to get to this point, because I was scared to death I was going to die and go to heaven, and I really wanted to teach y'all this stuff while this conflict was going on. So just bear with me for a minute. What marks the beginning of the tribulation is not the rapture. Understand that. The rapture of the church could take place, and then 20 years could elapse before the 7-year tribulation begins. There's nothing in the Word that teaches us that the rapture marks the beginning of the tribulation. I would say to you that it's probably going to happen soon after the rapture, and here's why. All light is gone. The Holy Spirit is gone. Are you with me? But there is an event that marks the beginning of the tribulation, and it's important for you to understand it because we're getting close to seeing the beginnings of this event. There will be a world ruler that will rise up and say, "I have the solution to peace in Israel." And he, according to Daniel 9:27, will confirm a covenant with Israel and the surrounding nations. This person is, Daniel calls, the Antichrist. Are y'all hearing me? This Antichrist is going to bring peace to Israel. How on earth would he solve this problem? The argument, after all, is about the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The argument is over the Muslims wanting to destroy the people of Israel. Why are they wanting to destroy? Have y'all heard the protest? From the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. It's from the river Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea that they're talking about. The only thing there is between the river Jordan And the Mediterranean Sea is the entire nation of Israel. They're calling for the annihilation of Israel. Why? Because they want to seize control of the Temple Mount in order to welcome their Messiah. The Jews are not willing to give it up because they believe their Messiah is going to come to the Temple Mount. How are they going to solve this conflict? The Antichrist will come and create a world religion, a one world religion. It'll be a hybrid religion between Islam and Judaism. Not to include Christianity in its right form, but the apostate church in Christianity will sign up for it. Do you hear me? Because there's a lot of people sitting in the pews of churches today that do not know Christ. And they'll be left behind. The Holy Spirit doesn't reside in them. And they'll be left behind. I don't know if you know this or not. I've had great experience with this in the last couple of weeks. But the church is growing more and more politically woke. And they're embracing woke philosophies. That may not be happening here, and I say God forbid it. Our pastor wouldn't stand for it. Say amen to that. And I believe that with all my heart. But listen, many in the apostate church will join this hybrid Islam and Judaism religion, and there'll be a one world religion that will bring a false sense of peace for there to be a shared temple where they will both welcome the Messiah. What they don't realize is that 3.5 years into that covenant, this same Antichrist that brought about the framework for this covenant will enter the temple himself and declare himself to be God. Now watch how the Lord works. Are y'all waiting for this? How many of you listening? Here's the way God works. Right in the middle of all of that, God raises up 144,000 people in Israel that's going to say, this ain't the dude. This is not the one. They're going to declare King Jesus and the coming kingdom that's going to rule the earth. They're going to preach it boldly. And this Antichrist that can work miracles, who can call fire down from heaven, this Antichrist whose power is after the power of Satan is going to go after them, but he can't harm them. Because God has sealed this 144,000 with his name, and no harm can come against them. And they're not the only ones that's going to be preaching on that day. Grab a hold of this one. Please say y'all are listening. Moses and Elijah's coming back from heaven. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. Moses and Elijah's going to come back from heaven, and they're going to preach. They're called the two witnesses. And through their preaching, here's what it says. Oh, dear God, I could preach on this forever. Here's what it says. They're going to torment the people of the earth with their preaching. Now, right there. Somebody tell me you get uncomfortable when I preach. I hope you are. It's biblical. Shows I'm doing my job. Say amen. Amen. Moses and Elijah is going to come. They're going to preach. And God's going to allow them to be killed. And their dead bodies are going to lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. People are going to send gifts to one another because these two have been killed. But on the third day, something happens. Their bodies rise up and they ascend back to the Father in heaven. Are y'all out there? These are the times we're living in. For such a time as this, you've been chosen. I could go on and on and on about the temple. It dates all, this conflict dates back to the Grecian Empire that Daniel talked about in Daniel 2. We'll get into that. But I want to give you the punchline for today and we'll be done. Did y'all read these things up here? Watch this. Christians know that we're the temple of God. Wait a minute. Did you hear that? You didn't get it. If you got it, you'd be my God and like Willie. You'd be amen and like Roger Coffey. Don't you love Roger Coffey to say amen? I love to hear it. It's amen. I love that. There you go. Christians know that we're the temple that God dwells in. Our temple can only be defiled by the spirit of the Antichrist. You know what Jesus told the woman at the well? She pointed to the mount and she said, well, that's the only place we can worship. Jesus said, I tell you, there's coming a day when that's not going to be the place that the temple is going to rest within you. There'll be living water springing up out of you. It's all about you being in an individual relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to grab a hold of the thing that God has chosen to dwell in you. Now, just right there. If that don't do something to you, nothing will. The other morning I was sitting in a little room in Ken's shop. We put it together because of this surgery. And I knew I was going to get on Haley's ever-loving last nerve if I was in the house all the time. And I make my way down this little room and I got to thinking about this thing and I said, oh God, I'm a temple. Come fill this temple. Come feel this. I don't have to wait on his coming in the middle of the air. He's already here. I can see all of the signs that are around me. And I tell you this of a truth. You better get your bags packed. You're fixing to leave planet Earth. You are fixing to rise up in the middle of the air to meet our blessed Savior. And we're going home with him for 7 years, and then we're going to saddle up some white horses and ride back down through the skies and the clouds of glory all the way to Jerusalem, and he's going to rule and I'm going to rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. And Paul's prophecy in the book of Romans will be fulfilled on that day when he said, and all of Israel shall be saved. Many will reject, and many are rejecting. But I don't want that to happen to us. No. And I don't want us to be sad when we see all these things unfold. I expect Israel to reject him all the way up until his return. And then blindness in part will be removed, and every eye shall see the Prince of Glory. And he'll consume them with the spirit of his mouth. Simply the word spoken will consume the enemies. I have his word. Greatest weapon on planet Earth. The word of God. Boy, I feel good today. I wish every day was Sunday, don't you? Oh, what a joy. So when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, connected, we're instructed in the book of Psalms, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When you do so, have this as your mindset. And be at peace because God chose you to be his temple. Is your temple being defiled? Have you got a clean place for Jesus to live? Are you hearing me? Have you swept out the place where Jesus lives and vacuumed it up, and emptied the trash? There you go. I called your attention to that. Ain't much time left. I'll tell Haley, somebody's coming, and boy, she freaks out. She goes to cleaning like a whirlwind. I mean that girl. She cleans what's already been cleaned and is clean. Clean, she said, and why? I don't want somebody to see a dirty house. Oh, I don't want my house to be dirty for Jesus. I want every thought to be clean. I love him. I want him to be at home in me. Whew. Did you hear that? I want him to be at home in me. I want a clean place for my Lord to rest. My rest is tied to his rest. Oh, I want him to rest in me. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Holy Spirit, clean us out. Show us that hidden garbage. Sweep us clean. Lord Jesus, fill your temples today. Because I know if he does, we will all be captivated by your glory and your glory alone. Our attention will be arrested to you. We know, Lord, the time is short. The conflict is building, and our time of departure is at hand. And we can say like Paul, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go up. I've fought a good fight. I'm finishing my course. And I'm keeping the faith. And I've been swept clean. But I know there's more cleaning to do. Clean me out and fill me up. And I'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. We'll take a few minutes and then go to